Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board this morning as we face the issues. Let me remind you that you, our audience, allow us to set forth the program, the ideas, bring about and bring to the forefront some news from a biblical Christian perspective. As we look at the world, as we see the events taking place, unfurling before our eyes on a 24/7 basis, we need to look at it through the prism of the Word of God. What does the Bible say? How does the Bible respond to or address these issues? I don't believe there's an issue that we could be faced with in life, whether it's social, economic, political, theological, doctrinal, biblical, but that God has an answer in the Scripture. This is the reason I encourage people to have a central biblicist worldview. Someone asked one time, what does that mean? In fact, I had an individual say, you're an Arminianist, are you a Calvinist? I said, neither. He said, well, what are you? He said, I'm a central biblicist. That is, what does the Bible say? You see, if we cast off all of the dogmas, all of the ideological bents, all of the rites, rituals, rules, and regulations of denominationalism, and simply pare it down to what does the Bible say, it makes a vast, vast difference in how we respond to issues in life. This is the reason Jesus said to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know of anything, any source, any resource material, any place that we could go that it has a greater impact on life and living than the Word of God. This is the reason Jesus had said that to his disciples in John 8:31 and 32. Then Jesus said in John 14:6, I am truth. I am truth. And then in John 17:17, Jesus says, thy word is truth. So this is the reason, ladies and gentlemen, I say from Genesis 1:1 through the book of the Revelation, you find the Bible, which is a book of truth. And I believe that we need to recognize the truth today and stand by truth, perhaps more urgently needed today than in any time in the history of America or in the history of our world. I do realize that we are in a major declension in America. I do realize that we're in a moral declension in America. I do realize that morals and ethics and values and anything that's called biblical truth is shunned in Washington. But it's as George Orwell said a number of years ago, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And I believe we're witnesses to that very fact today, ladies and gentlemen. It was the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus made this very powerful statement, and I believe it is fitting for us today. He says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that it's imperative for us to do that today. I believe that when we watch and witness what is taking place in Washington, when we see what is being said by our national so-called leaders, both the House and the Senate, both aisles, the Democrat and the Republican, I believe as we see the events unfurling on a global basis that shows the hand of God saying, look up, listen to me, see me, I'm in control. I believe that we need to recognize the truth. And I believe we need to listen to the truth and learn the truth. But ladies and gentlemen, it is a hated factor today in society. The only way we can overcome that is by sticking to the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, lest I forget it. The telephone number that allows you to call in today is 831-0917, 831-0917. The telephone call gets you immediately through to the telephones in our studio and right to our microphones so that we can have dialogue and discussion with you. We're talking about today, again, what I found is intriguing to our listeners, an opportunity for you to, as some have said, get in your 2 cents worth, open mic day, what I simply call bits and pieces. And I usually select those news items that I believe would be more appropriately discussed from a conservative Christian standpoint. But ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor powered equipment dealership specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries equipment for the homeowner with brands Lakonda and Echo. Tools for Time also carries a full line of professional landscape equipment and homeowner equipment for taking care of the lawn with also hurricane preparedness equipment. They also, Tools for Time also has a full staff of knowledgeable people. They can answer all your questions about power backup generation as well as the power equipment for lawn care and for landscape in your home and for your professional business. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. To Evelyn, 11291 Old St. Augustine Road is right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. And for your edification and information, there's a gigantic flagpole there, about 165-foot flagpole with a gigantic American flag flowing, and that flag is flowing 24/7. And at the foot of that flagpole, at the base of that flagpole, is Tools for Time. Tools for Time is located there at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, on open mic today, I encourage you to call in, jump in, give your 2 cents worth, and ask your questions. Love to have your questions or statements regarding our discussions each day. But with an open mic day and what I call bits and pieces, you'll have an opportunity to jump in and give your thoughts and ask your questions about a variety of things today. Perhaps the item that's on your heart that you're concerned about, especially as a conservative or as a Christian, and you're concerned about an issue, we'd love to have dialogue and discussion with you on it. Bring that subject up. Be delighted to answer your questions and respond to your dialogue. Ladies and gentlemen, the coronavirus, let me just start out with that. The coronavirus continues to expand on a global basis today. And as of today, there's approximately 80,000. I think one news source said it was a little over 80,000. So I'm using just the round figures, approximately 80,000 cases that of individuals infected, a little over 3,000 deaths as a result of it on a global basis. America now has about 16 cases, according to the 6:30 morning news, about 16 cases. And there's about two Americans that have died as a result of the coronavirus. The CDC and the DHS and the World Health Organization warn of the danger of panic in America. Listen, there's a panic effect that's taking place. And I think, ladies and gentlemen, there's some that are whipping up that panic effect because they desired outcome. And we'll talk about that in a moment in this portion of the broadcast today. But may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, they're warning us of that panic. The panic buying of facial masks and other perceived essentials have caused some bare shelves in some stores like Costco in some cities. In fact, I've watched the video footage on that, looked at some of the pictures in some of the Costco stores where shelves are empty, literally bare, empty, as a result of the panic that's taking place over what the future holds. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, let me just tuck this in at this point. God is still in control. God still holds our future. Our future of every minute, every heartbeat, every breath, our future for each and every day are all held in the hand of God. And it's my most humble opinion based on the authority of Scripture. God is the one that's sovereignly in control, and it's God that knows best as to what is going to take place. But listen, let me tuck in a little thought. Ladies and gentlemen, I do believe that God operates in a symmetric fashion, just as he did in the Old Testament with the nation of Israel, as the Israelites would leave God and literally forsake God and follow other gods. God would bring them into bondage, into captivity of another nation, until the Israelis, the Jewish people, would recognize their sin, confess their sin. God would then forgive them, bring them back to a place of standing in society where they were productive and beneficial and being blessed, and they would do the same thing cycle after cycle after cycle. And I believe we're watching the hand of God in the same symmetry as he works with the globe today and with America today. He's wanting our attention. He's wanting us to turn back to him. God is wanting us to recognize that he is in control. But ladies and gentlemen, keep in mind, America is still the safest country in all the world when it comes to our health scenario and situation. Howbeit, listen, 97% of our antibiotics come out of China. Those plants, those pharmaceutical production plants, are closed because of the coronavirus in China. China is in a major, major position of difficulty today as a result of the coronavirus. 85% plus of all of our medical supplies are manufactured in China. And ladies and gentlemen, let me just tell you why. Because under the William Jefferson Clinton administration, Bill Clinton gave China the most favored nation trade status. As a result of that, just about everything that America has on its shelves and Walmarts and other stores, just about every pill that we take, every pharmaceutical that's prescribed by the physicians, all manufactured in the nation of China today, because the Chinese workers work for 50 cents or a dollar a day or its equivalent. And as a result of that, we scream and cry and hear all of the politicians talk about the unfairness of wages in America when America gets paid higher wages per hour than any other nation on the globe. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, our economy was as good or better in the days there was no such thing as a minimum wage. Supply and demand made a difference in what kind of work, what kind of workers were producing and companies that were making the money and paying the most to their employees. But ladies and gentlemen, we have a screaming cry out of Washington about wanting and demanding a $15 an hour wage in America. And we're absolutely farming out. That is, having the companies around the globe where they're doing slave labor, as it would be called, to carry out the process of making and manufacturing our goods. And we're buying into that philosophy. It is my prayer, it is my desire to see that totally reversed just as a result of the coronavirus and the panic that is taking place on a global basis. But ladies and gentlemen, it's because of American pharmaceutical and the greed that they can have a bottle of pills made for about 50 cents, and then it's billed out through the drug production and through the drug distributors in America. It's billed out then by the insurance companies to the insurance companies at hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars for that 50 cents bottle of pills. And I find that egregious, but nevertheless, that's cause and effect. That's what we see taking place. But ladies and gentlemen, as a result of the high probability of the spread to major cities in America, and because the possibility, and yea, even the probability of future additional deaths in America as a result of the coronavirus, as a result of that, one of the doctors with the Centers for Disease Control, known as the CDC, making the statement, quote, that it's not a matter of if, but when America gets hard hit with the virus. As a result of that, ladies and gentlemen, last week the stock market dropped about 3,500 points. About 3,500 points. Stock market was hit harder and had the lowest level since 2008 recession. And that's not good. And it's not good for a multiple of reasons. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But as a result of that physician making that statement, it caused the major panic in the market. So the question begs to be asked and demands to be answered, ladies and gentlemen. Was that statement by that physician in the CDC, was that a contrived statement? Was it a statement that simply is fact, or is it fiction? Is it something we need to recognize as being truth, or is it possible it's error that's contrived for a very open purpose? Ladies and gentlemen, the doctor is Rod Rosenstein's sister, a group of Trump haters that publicized that statement. Some believe that the hype of the virus is designed to tank the market and caused the major financial collapse in America just to get President Trump and to prevent his reelection. Here's the article, ladies and gentlemen, in case you've not heard it. Title of the article, CDC official helping spook, S-P-O-O-K, helping spook Trump's economy with coronavirus fears is Rod Rosenstein's sister, dated February the 28th, 2020. An intriguing connection related to one of America's top health officials at the center of the national discussion over the potential severity of the coronavirus in America has some wondering about a conspiracy, while others find only a coincidence. Fears that the coronavirus will have devastating impact beyond those already being registered around the globe have triggered a major Wall Street sell-off. President Donald Trump has pushed back against the culture of panic. But is there a political tinge to the pronouncements? Speculation is that it could be that. Could be that it rose after it was discovered that the health official making dire pronouncements about the impact of the coronavirus, contrary to those offered by the Trump administration, connected to another high-profile individual who often was at odds with the president. Former Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein. In 2018, the New York Times linked Rosenstein to an internal administration plot to record Trump in a secret and then invoke the 25th Amendment, under which the president can be removed for being unfit to perform his duties. During a hearing to be confirmed to the Post, now being confirmed by the Post, Rosenstein submitted written testimony saying that his sister was Dr. Nancy Musiner and that she is the director of the National Center for Immunization and Respiratory Diseases at the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. This week, while the president was trying to reassure Americans that health officials were working to protect Americans, this physician was taking a different approach. Quote, this is the quote now from Rod Rosenstein's sister, the physician with DNC. It's not so much a question of if this will happen anymore, but more really a question of when it will happen, she said, according to the NPR, adding that a significant disruption of the American daily lives is possible, end quote. Quote, we're asking the American public to work with us to prepare with the expectation that this could get very bad, end quote. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if words like that will not cause a panic, I don't know what would. As a result of that, ladies and gentlemen, you know the end of the story. You know the results. The stock market, the day after that was said, in fact, the afternoon after that was stated, the stock market started absolutely plummeting at a very rapid rate on one occasion, on one day, over 1,000-point drop. The next day, almost 1,000 points. The next day, it was a little over 800 and then receded some. Total of a little over 3,500 points drop in the stock market. That was trillions and trillions, and may I say trillions of dollars loss out of the pockets of investors on a global basis as a result of that one physician, Rod Rosenstein's sister, of a family that hates President Donald J. Trump. And on one occasion, Rod Rosenstein wanted to secretly wire himself and others to try to trap the president into saying some things that would make him look as though he was not in his right mind so that they could then institute the 25th Amendment that would allow the president to be removed because of inability inability to be able to run the nation based on some problem mentally or emotionally that would cause that. Ladies and gentlemen, we're dealing with some dire circumstances in America, to say the least. Then on top of that, to have the coronavirus to come in and cause multitudes to be frightened to death, panic stricken, and as a result of that, making decisions that are absolutely unwise decisions. In fact, here's an article that says, virus deepens the sell-off, threatens the Trump economy and his future reelection. Dated March the 2nd, 2020. Edmund Burke said, that's Edmund, E-D-M-U-N-D, Edmund Burke says, no power so effectively robs the mind of all its powers of acting and reassuring as does fear. It was Jimmy Stewart that said, fear is an insidious and deadly thing. It can warp judgment, freeze reflexes, breed mistakes. Worse, it's contagious, end quote. That's the beginning of this article. Then it says, weeks ago, my husband said to me, this virus is an attack on President Trump's economy. Trump's trade demands and tariffs literally brought Red China's economy to its knees. Perhaps the coronavirus was turned loose to bring the rest of the world's economies to the same level. Since Trump took office, America's economy has been booming. But both Red China and America's socialist Democrats and communists would love to see us suffer recession. This raging virus has already destroyed $3.8 trillion. Ladies and gentlemen, that was $3.8 trillion in the stock market. The Chinese have set a trap for Trump, according to this particular writer. The left doesn't care how many people suffer or die from coronavirus. If they can remove Trump from office and regain their globalist worldview and world order. The Democrats have no problem murdering unborn babies. The blood of 61 million is on their hands. Why would they be bothered in the least with a few thousand more deaths in America and around the world? Panic is actually spreading, and guess who's doing it? The CDC, this article says. The CDC officials helping spook Trump's economy with the coronavirus fear is Rod Rosenstein's sister. She said on an NPR interview that it's not a question of if the virus will spread, but only when it will spread. That's a dual article, ladies and gentlemen, talking about the contriving of an element that will petrify and panic Americans, that will cause the plummeting of the market. In fact, my wife will tell you that I said to her, as well as to others, over a year ago, that the best thing that President Trump has going for him is the super, super strong economy. I said then, and I say today, if that economic picture can be shaken or undermined, it will have a devastating effect on the reelection of the president that I believe God has divinely intervened and placed into office. Now, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, let me add a little parenthetical footnote. If God has divinely intervened and put him in office, I believe God can divinely intervene and keep him in office. Howbeit, we do not know the mind of God and what God's intentions might be for the chastisement of America, because we've banned God, we've banned the Bible, we've refused God, and in every aspect of the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party, there's an attack on God. There's an attack, ladies and gentlemen, and it's for the soul of America, based on trying to remove the fundamental foundation of spirituality and of godliness in the part of Americans, and not realizing, ladies and gentlemen, some not realizing that this is the very thing that's clawing at the foundation of our great nation today. Even Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen, even Hollywood, they're all in a real frenzy being churned today with the idea that somehow, some way, that they can push and shove and have an economic downturn that will cause President Trump not to be reelected. Hollywood, all of the Hollywood elites are openly hoping. I read an article just last week where the elitists in Hollywood are openly, quote, praying and hoping that there will be an economic turndown, a financial collapse. In fact, one of them said that they would like to see a national depression if that would prevent President Trump from being reelected. Ain't that wonderful? Coming out of Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen, they're searching for, wanting a full recession, if not a total depression, in order to keep President Trump from being reelected. May I say to you that it deserves the prayers of every Christian listening today, that we pray and ask God to intervene in this scenario called the coronavirus, not just for the safety and the health of human beings, although that is primary, but also for the safety of our nation and the future that we go in with the election of the next president of the United States of America. Every Christian, every conservative, I believe, needs to pray and seek God's face, turn from our wicked ways, confess our sins, and ask God to heal our land. 2 Chronicles 7:14 being paraphrased to make the statement, ladies and gentlemen. May I remind us, we need to ask God to intervene in the election and give President Donald J. Trump the victory at the ballot box. By the way, next Tuesday is, I thought it was next Tuesday, I believe it's tomorrow, this Tuesday that is Super Tuesday, they call it. I think these 12 or 14 states that have their primaries. We're going to watch some major shakeups and changes in the trajectory of the Democratic Socialist Communist Marxist Party, and who will be that at the helm. And I've said for many, many months now that I believe when it comes down to the Democratic National Convention, when they have the convention to determine the candidate, the one that will be facing off against President Donald J. Trump, I believe we'll see a brokered convention. First ballot, they will not have a surviving winning candidate. And then it's when the superdelegates within the Democratic National Committee jumps in and they make the decision. And ladies and gentlemen, they're in a strait today because basically the leftists, the Marxists, the socialists, the communists within the party do not want Bernie Sanders, the out-and-out Bolshevik Russian communist. They do not want him as the candidate. And I understand that. I'm in agreement. But as a result of that, they're scrambling to find a candidate. And I've said, and I pray that I'm wrong, that by the time of the convention, they will have either Michelle Obama or they will have Hillary Rodham Clinton to step in and save the day by becoming the nominee without having run a campaign, become the nominee for the Democratic Socialist Marxist Communist Party. I believe we're watching the makings of that now. But nevertheless, we're going to see a fiasco that is in the making today. But can you imagine having a communist president? Can you imagine Bernie Sanders that took his honeymoon in Russia? Can you imagine Bernie Sanders that visited Cuba on a number of occasions? Can you think about Bernie Sanders that just 2 years ago praising Venezuela and its communist dictator because of the wonderful nation that Venezuela was? And now look at Venezuela today. The average citizen searching through the garbage piles and the refuge and the dumpsters trying to find just a morsel of food to eat. The nation of Venezuela, which was a nation of wealth because of its natural resources like gas and oil, now at the bottom of the pit simply because of a dictator. The same mind, ladies and gentlemen, is the mind of Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders, don't let him fool you. Bernie Sanders is a full-fledged, absolute out-and-out communist. The man didn't have a job until he was 28 years old. He floated across the nation in his Volkswagen bus. The only income that he had, even by the time he was 28 years old, the only income that he had was off welfare and living off others. And then finally, he landed some work. He was writing pornographic articles and getting paid by the publishers of those articles, $50 per article. Some of the articles that he had written are too profane, too, immoral for me to even state them or re-communicate them by this broadcast today. And now for the past, 35 years, 40 years, Bernie Sanders has been on the dole from the taxpayers. That's the only income he's ever had, the only job he's ever had. And he loves communism. He loves Fidel Castro's administration. And when Fidel Castro was incarcerating people, putting them in re-educational camps, Bernie Sanders calls that the educational program. Bernie Sanders says teaching people how to read is not bad. I think it's good, Bernie Sanders stated. He was praising Fidel Castro's re-educational camps where he supposedly was teaching people how to read. Yes, that was the fact, but the fact is they were in re-educational camps, concentration camps, as a result of saying something against the government, against Fidel Castro and his leaders. Some of you that's listening today have a background from Cuba. Some of you have a background from coming from that place, and you know what it's like. You know what it's about, and yet Bernie Sanders wants to return to that kind of leadership in America today. Can you imagine our nation with that kind of leadership, our nation turning into a socialist, communist? By the way, socialism is communism light. And our youngsters today, the 18 to 35-year-old age group, they've been brainwashed in the colleges and the universities by the communist professors teaching them that socialism is good. Recently, a poll was taken by Pew Research, I believe it was, or the Gallup poll, one or the other, and they said that the overwhelming majority of the millennials believe that socialism is good and capitalism is bad. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a one-minute break at the top of the hour for our top-of-the-hour news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We'll be right back with Open Mic today with Bits and Pieces.
Conservative.edu.